Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechus Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Beis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the last mission in the Perek states that if a Gentile lit a lamp for himself, a Jew may use its light. But if the Gentile lit the lamp for the Jew, he may not use it. The same principle applies if a Gentile drew water for his animal or built a gangplank to disembark from a boat. And the mission brings a story from a Gamliel and the Zakenim disembarking on a gangplank that a Gentile made. The Gemara brings a brice that limits the Mishnah's ruling and states that one can only benefit from the Gentile's work if she'eino makiro, the Gentile does not know the Jew. Rashi explains that if he knew him, we assume that he did the melach on behalf of the Jew as well. Point number two, based on the opening Mishnah of the 17th parak, which discusses moving kelim and their doors on Shabbos, the Gemara brings a brice that states that doors of a carriage, trunk, or closet may be removed from its socket on Shabbos, but may not be reinserted. So the Gemara asks on the Braisa that if the Tana holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, Yesh Tir B'Kelim, that there's a prohibition to build Kelim on Shabbos, he must hold this prohibition of demolishing them. And if he holds Ein Stir B'Kelim, then Ein Binyan B'Kelim, that there's no prohibition of demolishing Kelim, he must hold there's no prohibition of building them either. So how can removing the doors from their socket be permitted while reinserting them into the socket be prohibited? So Abai answers that the Tana holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, the Yeshtir Bekelim. And the Mishnah means to say, Shenitru, that they were removed, not that one is permitted to remove them. The Mishnah means that in a situation where the doors were removed, one is prohibited from reinserting them. Rava answers that the Tana holds Ein Binyan Bekelim, the Ein Stir Bekelim, and the Tana prohibits reinserting them out of concern that he might wedge them in and then be liable for Makah B'Patish. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that one is permitted to take a hammer to crack open nuts on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says that the Mishnah is referring to a hammer that's been designated to crack open nuts, but a blacksmith's hammer would be prohibited. He holds klish malakta le'isser, afil et sarakupo aser. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may not be moved even for a permitted use. Rabbah says that the Mishnah is referring to a blacksmith's hammer, because Rabbah holds that klish malakta le'isser with sarakupo mutter. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may be used for a permissible purpose. So once again, the three points are number one. The last Mishnah Perek states that if a Gentile lit a lamp for himself, a Jew may use its light, but if the Gentile lit the lamp for the Jew, he may not use it. The same principle applies if a Gentile drew water for his animal or built a gangplank to disembark from a boat, and the Mishnah concludes with the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim disembarking on a gangplank that a Gentile made. But the Gemara brings a brice that limits the Mishnah's ruling and states that one can only benefit from the Gentile's work if she'eino makiro, the Gentile does not know the Jew. Rashi explains that if he knew him, we assume he did the melach on behalf of the Jew as well. Point number two, based on the opening Mishnah of the 17th Perek, which discusses moving kelim and their doors on Shabbos, the Gemara brings up brice that states that doors of a carriage, trunk, or closet may be removed from its socket on Shabbos, but may not be reinserted. The Gemara asks on the brice that if the Tana holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, Yesh Tir B'Kelim, that there is a prohibition to build kelim on Shabbos, he must hold there is a prohibition of demolishing them. And if he holds Ein Stir B'Kelim, Ein Binyan B'Kelim, if he holds that there's no prohibition of demolishing Kelim, he must hold there's no prohibition of building them either. So how can removing the doors from their socket be permitted while reinserting them into their socket be prohibited? So Abai answers that the Tana holds Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, V'Yesh Stir B'Kelim. And the Mishnah means to say, Shenitlu, that they were removed, not that one is permitted to remove them. The Mishnah means that in a situation where the doors were removed, one is prohibited from reinserting them. Rava answers the Tana holds Ein Binyan B'Kelim V'Ein Stir B'Kelim, and the Tana prohibits reinserting them out of concern that he might wedge them in and then be liable for Makah B'Patish. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that one is permitted to take a hammer to crack open nuts on Shabbos. Yehuda says that the Mishnah is referring to a hammer that has been designated to crack open nuts, but a blacksmith's hammer would be prohibited. He holds Klish Malach Del Isser Afilo Atzer Gufo Aser. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may not be moved even for a permitted use. Rabbah says the Mishnah is referring to a blacksmith's hammer. Rabbah holds that klish malakta le'isser letzarakufa mutter. Something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may be used for a permissible purpose. All right, so now we go to Simon for Kufcha Beis, and I had a lot of suggestions. We had stars came up a lot, kochavim and variations, stargazers, planetarians, astrologers. We had cucumbers, kickball, cookbooks, kickboxers, shish kebab. Mayor Sadia from Brooklyn suggested the kookaburra bird, which I'd never heard of before, but I've since discovered has a remarkable chirp, the laughing kookaburra. But we're going to go with another suggestion that was very popular, which is corn on the cob. Corn on the cob is going to be our simmon. So I want to thank everybody who suggested. Numerous people suggested corn on the cob. That's going to be our simmon for Kuf Kaf Beis. Corn on the cob. So here goes. The Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he could now remove the door from his trunk and pull out his blacksmith's hammer to crack open nuts. Once again, in slow motion. The Jew eating corn on the cob. Corn on the cob, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Kaf Beis. The Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, which reminds us, the last mission of the Perek states that if a Gentile lit a lamp for himself, a Jew may use its light, but if the Gentile lit the lamp for the Jew, he may not use it. The same principle applies if a Gentile drew water for his animal or built a gangplank to disembark from a boat. The mission concludes with the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Zakenim disembarking on a gangplank that a Gentile made. The Gemara brings a brisa that limits the Mishnah's ruling and states that one can only benefit from the Gentile's work if, she'eino makiro, the Gentile does not know the Jew. Rashi explains that if he knew him, we assume that he did the malach on behalf of the Jew as well. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he can now remove the door from his trunk, which reminds us, based on the opening mission of the 17th parak, which discusses moving kalim and their doors on Shabbos, the Gemara brings a brisa that states that doors of a carriage, trunk, or closet may be removed from its socket on Shabbos, but may not be reinserted. The Gemara asks on the brisa that if the Tana holds yesh binyan b'kalim, yesh tir b'kalim, if there's a prohibition to build kalim on Shabbos, he must hold there's a prohibition of demolishing them. And if he holds ein stir b'kalim, ein binyan b'kalim, if he holds that there's no prohibition of demolishing kalim, he must hold there's no prohibition of building them either. So how can removing the doors from their socket be permitted while reinserting them into their socket be prohibited? So by answers, the Tana holds yesh binyan b'kalim v'yesh stir b'kalim. And the Mishnah means to say shenitu, that they were removed, not that one is permitted to remove them. The Mishnah means that in a situation where the doors were removed, one is prohibited from reinserting them. Rava answers the Tana holds ein binyan b'kalim v'ein stir b'kalim. And the Tana prohibits reinserting them out of concern that he might wedge them in, and then he's liable for makom b'patish. So the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he could now remove the door from his trunk and pull out his blacksmith's hammer to crack open nuts. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that one is permitted to take a hammer to crack open nuts on Shabbos. Reviewed, it says, the Mishnah is referring to a hammer that has been designated to crack open nuts, but a blacksmith's hammer would be prohibited, because he holds something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may not be moved even for a permitted use. Rabba says the Mishnah is referring to a blacksmith's hammer, because Rabba holds that something that is usually used for work that is forbidden on Shabbos may be used for a permissible purpose. So once again, the Jew eating corn on the cob in the dark was thrilled when a non-Jewish stranger turned on the lights, because he can now remove the door from his trunk and pull out his blacksmith's hammer to crack open nuts. All right, so now it's time for a four blah bah chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the symbol of Kuf Yud Ches is kichel. So here goes. The kichel connoisseur is kichel. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The kichel connoisseur has insisted that eating kichel at all three Shabbos meals will spare Yidden from misfortune, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of teachings about the benefits of eating on Shabbos. It was said in the name of Bar Kapar that whoever fulfills the precept of eating three meals, shalosh seudos, on Shabbos is spared from three misfortunes, mechevel shel Mashiach, medino shel Gehenim, memelchemes Gog and Magog, from the birth pangs of Mashiach, the judgment of Gehenim, and from the war of Gog and Magog. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Kol ma'anek es ha-Shabbos noisim lo'nachala b'li mitzarim. Whoever delights in Shabbos is granted a boundless heritage. Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, whoever delights in Shabbos nitzel m'shibud galyos. He is spared from the oppression of the exiles. Each more brings a source to support his teaching. So the kichel connoisseurs insisted that eating kichel at all three Shabbos meals will spare Yidden from misfortune, provided they eat it two Shabbosim in a row, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Yomali mishamim Yisrael shtei Shabbosis gilchasan. If the Jewish people would only observe two Shabbosim according to Halacha, they would be redeemed immediately. As it says in the Pasuk, Ko amar Hashem v'sirisim asher yishmu v'shabsosai. So says Hashem regarding the eunuchs who observe my Shabbosim. And here Shabbos is in the plural, meaning two Shabbosim. And it's written afterwards, V'habiyosim ahar kadshi, and I will bring them to my holy mountain. So the kichel connoisseurs insisted that eating kichel at all three Shabbos meals will spare Yidden from misfortune, provided they eat it two Shabbosim in a row, and not let their hands go below their belts. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said that in all his days he never gazed at his milah. The Gemara asks how this could be, since when Rebbe was asked why he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he answered that in all his days he never gazed at his meal. If what Rabbi Yossi said about himself was true, then he should have been called Rabbeinu HaKadosh as well. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi also had another modest habit in that he did not place his hand below the level of his belt, and that is why he's referred to as Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the symbol of Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. When the big red kite got hit by a fancy pearl hat flying through the air, which reminds us, the Gemara relates the story of a gent who was told by astrologers that all of his possessions would eventually end up going to Yosef Moker Shabbos. Yosef, the one who honors Shabbos. To prevent that from happening, he sold everything he had, purchased an extremely valuable pearl, and placed it in a hat. A wind came along and blew off the hat into the water where a fish consumed the pearl and then was caught in the afternoon air of Shabbos. The fisherman didn't know who'd buy the fish so late in the day. They were told to bring it to Yosef Moker Shabbos since he buys anything that comes his way to honor Shabbos. Sure enough, the pearl was discovered, which led to his great wealth. A certain elder said to Yosef Moker Shabbos, "Mandi Yaziv Shabbos Pari Shabbos. He who borrows for the sake of Shabbos, Shabbos repays him." So when the big red kite got hit by a fancy pearl hat flying through the air, it fell directly into a big bag of sweet-smelling Shabbos spice, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Caesar once asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and I want to point out it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, not Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, like I had written before. So the Gemara relates that Caesar once asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, why is it that Shabbos food has such a great aroma? Rabbi Yeshua answered him, "We have this one spice called Shabbos, which we throw into the Shabbos food, which gives it its great aroma." So when Caesar asked for the spice, Rabbi Yeshua answered, "To the one who Shomer Shabbos, the spice is effective, but for the one who's not Shomer Shabbos, it is not effective." So when the big red kite got hit by a fancy pearl hat flying through the air, it fell directly into a big bag of sweet-smelling Shabbos spice, carried by a guy shouting Amen. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of teachings about saying Amen. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "Kol ona Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevorach B'chol Kocho, Koin Lo Gzardino." Anyone who responds to Kaddish with one's full concentration, the evil decree made in judgment against him is torn up. Rabbi Chia Ba'aba said, "Avio Yesh Bo Shemet Shel Avodah Zorah Mochlin Lo." Even if there's a trace of Avodah Zorah in him, he's forgiven. Yish Lakish said, "Kol ona Amen B'chol Kocho, Poskin Lo Shari Gan Eden." Anyone who responds to a bracha by answering Amen with his full concentration, the gates of Gan Eden are open for him. And Rabbi Hananya taught that Amen is an acronym for Kel Melech Ne'aman, God Trustworthy King. Daf Kuf Chaf. So the symbol of Kuf Chaf is a cook. So here goes. The camp cook. Cook, that means run Daf Kuf Chaf. The camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may save a basketful of loaves from a burning house even though it has enough in it for 100 meals, which contradicts the previous Mishnah that stated one is only permitted to save enough food for 3 meals. So Rav Huna answered that the two cases are different. In this Mishnah, the person is Bala Hatzel. He's coming to save one basket of food from a burning house. Therefore, he may save everything in it. Rashi explains that in this instance, it only requires a single act of removal. In the previous Mishnah, however, the person is Bala Kapel. He's coming to bundle together several baskets of food, which requires separate efforts. And therefore, he's limited to only saving enough for 3 meals. Rav Abba Bar Zavda presents a different answer. So the camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket, perched on top of clay pots filled with water, which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces Malchokas Hanayim regarding containing a fire. Rabbi Shimon ben Nana says one may spread a kid's hide over a carriage trunk or closet that are on fire because it only singes the hide. Similarly, one can make a partition of all kinds of kalim, whether they're full or empty, to prevent the fire from passing. Rashi explains that the case of them being full is when they are full of water. Rabbi Yossi prohibits using new earthenware vessels filled with water because they can't withstand the fire, and when they burst, they'll extinguish the fire. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, there is no concern with the vessel burst since he holds garm kibui mutter. Causing extinguishment indirectly is permitted. So the camp cook who stored 100 meals in a basket perched on top of clay pots filled with water always had a blade of reed grass wrapped around his arm, and no one knew why. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings up Bryce that contradicts both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, who's referred to as the Rabbanan. The Bryce states that a person that has the name of God written on his skin should not wash or anoint that area. He may also not stand in a healthy place. Lastly, if he's required to do a tefillah shel mitzvah, he should wrap a blade of reed grass over the name and then immerse himself. Rabbi Yossi says he may descend in an ordinary way as long as he doesn't directly rub off the name. Apparently, the Rabbanan hold that indirect causing or erasure is forbidden, whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that it's permitted, which is the opposite of what they hold about indirectly extinguishing. So the Gemara resolves the contradiction of the Rabbanan by stating that the reason for requiring covering the written name of Hashem with reed grass is not because it will cause the erasure of Hashem's name, but rather that it's prohibited to stand naked before the written name. The Gemara continues and resolves the contradiction of Rabbi Yossi as well. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So the symbol of Kuf Chaf Aleph is cocoa. So here goes. When Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, that means run Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not say to a Gentile that has come to extinguish a fire, extinguish it, but he doesn't have to tell him, do not extinguish it, because the Gentile's Shvisa is resting on Shabbos, is not the Jew's responsibility. However, one may not allow a Jewish child to extinguish it because the child's shvisa is his responsibility. Rabbi Yochanan clarifies the Mishnah forbids allowing a child to extinguish a fire specifically since the child wants to extinguish the fire for his father. But in a case where the child is acting for himself, such as in the case of him eating nevela, one is not mandated to stop the child. So the Gemara asks, why then is it permitted to let a Gentile extinguish a fire since he's acting on behalf of the Jew? The Gemara answers, that a Gentile always acts in his own self-interest. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, he had to dodge bowls covering chicken feces, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that one may invert a bowl over tzoa shel katan, a child's feces. Rabbi Avin was teaching his son that the Mishnah means that one may cover child's feces in order that a child will not dirty himself from it. Rav Chanan bar Rava corrected Rabbi Avin and said, that a child's feces is not muksa, since dogs nibble it, and is therefore considered muchan, prepared for their consumption. Therefore, it doesn't need to be covered, since it can be moved. Rather, said Rav Chanan, the Mishnah's teaching that one may invert a bowl over chicken feces, so that a child will not get himself dirty from it. Chicken feces is muksa, since it's not fit for dogs, and therefore it cannot be moved. So when Pedro, the cocoa bean farmer, ran to extinguish the Jewish home on fire, he had to dodge bowls covering chicken feces, and decide if he should kill some poisonous snakes. Which reminds us, a teacher of Bryce is taught in the presence of Rabba Rav Huna that if one kills poisonous snakes or scorpions on Shabbos, Ein Ruach Chassidim Nocha Amenu. Chassidim are not pleased with him for killing a creature on Shabbos unnecessarily. Rabba Rav Huna responded that Ein Ruach Chachami Nocha Mehem. The sages are not pleased with those Chassidim. Rashi explains that even though that those creatures did not pose a current direct danger, they will present a danger when they're angry. The Gemara notes that Rav Huna disagrees with his son Rav, for he once saw a person killing a bee on Shabbos and said to him, "Have you finished killing them off?" Rashi explains that Rav Huna questioned what had been accomplished, as there are still more bees. This shows that Rav Huna does not allow killing bees indiscriminately. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do you learn when you can benefit from a light turned on by a Gentile on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have machlokes regarding how many meals one is obligated to eat on Shabbos, 3 or 4? That's on daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that the gula would come if we kept 2 Shabbos and Kilchasa in a row? That's on daf Kuf Yud Ches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the question whether one can kill poisonous snakes or scorpions on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Kafalf. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn why the Rabban requires someone to cover Hashem's name with reed grass if they're going to do a tevila? That's on daf Kuf Chaf. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have in Machlokas whether a klisha malakta le'isser le'tzara gufo is mutter or aser? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Beis. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Svarim written by heretics are not saved in a fire, and that can be learned from a Kal Vachomer from Sota? That's on daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn about Yosef Moker Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Yud Tes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn about the value of answering Amen B'Kol Chocho? That's on daf Kuf Yud Tes. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that chicken feces is muksa and therefore can be covered with a bowl on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Which daf do we learn about the kinor of David HaMelech? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that the Shari Dima, the gates of tears, are never closed? That's on daf Lamed Beis. Great. And number 3. Which daf do we learn about the peros of Ginosar that if it's eaten with bread, the bread is tuffle. That's on daf Memdod. Excellent. Right. That concludes our pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.